Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hello. Hello. I'm sitting in a new place today because I was having technical issues in my normal place. So I'm recording from far away.
Ben is in the lie detector room for this very special episode of Watch What Crappens.
I am very much in the lie detector room. I'm so excited to podcast today, Ronnie. We were privileged as Bravo viewers to have, I thought, two like amazing episodes last night. Now, I went onto Twitter yesterday. I was so excited after I watched it. We watched the screeners and I was like, I can't say anything about the episode because screener embargoes up. I said, it's going to be a great night of programming. And I got a few people who were like, you're wrong. You were wrong. Because people were very angry at the OC episode. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, because it was an infuriating episode, but you have to admit, like, I spent this episode like cringing the entire time. I was like, oh my God, I was covering my eyes. I texted you. I was like, I can't deal. I was stressed out afterwards. To me, that's the mark of a great episode. If you are like feeling it, if it's in you and you're like afterwards, like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I say? Who do I say to anyone? You know, that's a great episode. And then on top of that, let's not discount Miami's contributions the evening, which we'll obviously talk about on our Miami episode.
Well, I just don't understand why you watch Orange County if you don't think you're going to get upset. That's what Orange County is. It's like reading your tax forms on a good day. Like, why would you do that? Yeah. Like, you know you're going to get mad, okay? It's, of course, it's infuriating, stupid Emily. You know, and Emily finally did what I've wanted to do all these years, which was egg her fucking house. I'm glad she did that for me, because what a dick that lady is. You know, all of them, really. This whole cast, truly, what a bunch of dicks. I mean, if you're, this cast is so bad that they have me rooting for the compulsive liar. I'm like, wow, Katie's great. I want to give Katie a parade at this point.
I know, this is to me very reminiscent of the Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy season, where they just went relentlessly at Lisa. Was that the season of the polygraph also, by the way? I think it actually
was the polygraph season, and it was the same, like, I think, the same Stephen Sondheim polygraph guy who does polygraphs over people's coats. So I'm not really sure why anybody's even taking this seriously. Heather was dressed in full head-to-toe leather, jacket, shirt, pants, and they did it over the... So I don't know what we're supposed to be believing here, but I'm not believing these lie detectors for 2 seconds. And no lie detector lady is going to be like, oh, she's so full of shit as she leaves the house. What kind of professionals are you? I want to leave you both Yelp reviews. Terrible lie detectors. Okay.
Yeah, terrible lie detectors. Also, I think that polygraph administrator may also host Traders UK when she's not doing lie detectors. I'm pretty sure it's the same person.
Oh, she wishes. She wishes she had that crow-like elegance.
I know. Like
Claudia.
But the thing is, I mean, there's part of me that kind of feels like the polygraph thing is sort of like a jump the shark thing. They should not be doing group polygraphs on these shows. It was very entertaining to watch, and it was like, ooh, it was so cringy. It was compelling TV, but they really shouldn't be doing that. Like, that's bad. But also, the reason why this reminds me of Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy is that, or Apple Juice, is that they ran Lisa Vanderpump off that show based off of some stupid shit that they all do. And so here, you know, when there have been so many worse, like, crimes and misdemeanors that have been literally committed by this cast. I mean, it just seems like this lie, is it really worth ganging up on someone and just, like, running them out of the house? You know, it was shitty. Cruel. And I'm still on Katie's side. She is messy as fuck. She's a bad liar. But you can't tell me that they're all, you know, they all lie.
They're all liars.
Yeah, by this polygraph test. And the other thing that drives me nuts is each one of them, I think there's only one person who had like did not lie at all. I forget who it was. We'll come to it. But like almost all of them had big time. Was it Gretchen? almost all of them had big time lies. And every time it said they lied, they'd be like, oh, well, I mean, it was wrong. So they're obviously, they have the capability to look at a polygraph and say, well, this is a flawed process where there can be errors. And yet when it comes to Katie, they're like, well, no, I mean, this is absolutely all true. No errors here. Like, it's just so hypocritical.
Yeah, there are a bunch of assholes on this show, seriously. And Gretchen got a passing score on everything. She got everything right, or not right, but non-lie. She told the truth on everything, supposedly, but we caught her in a lie during the lie detector test. So, yes. Like, a known fucking liar, Gretchen, walking around crying in her JonBenet Fox Ramsey outfit. Like, what the fuck? Like, like, you people are full of shit, and those lie detectors are terrible. And Heather lying her ass off. Tamara constantly lying. I love that Tamara's so fucking good at it that she's just like, she knows how to answer the questions where she can lie openly, you know, like the mm-hmm. one where they said, did you call Slade's ex or whatever to get information on Slade? And she's like, oh, well, maybe I didn't. And they showed the reunion clip where she did fucking lie. So These people are ridiculous. But before we get into what lies and monsters, oh, and Gina's getting away with everything because Gina's just so funny and relatable this year. Fuck Gina too. Gina's fucking horrible too. I can't with you people. And Gina going, thank you so much for being a reputable journalist. Like she's at Barbara Walters' funeral. Shut up, Gina.
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara Walters passed, right?
She did. Yeah.
Okay. Not that that makes me happy, except that I was right that she passed. Because, I mean, I've been calling a lot of people dead this year. So, sorry, Tim Curry. Still sorry. I'm still sorry. So, anyway, welcome to the show. Monday night is Amazon Live. Well, Monday afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific 4. Time. You'll find the link Monday over on our Instagram. You can follow us both personally. That would be fun. I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben Mandelker. And also, if you want this on video, it's on demand over at Patreon. That's also where our bonus episodes are. We did 3 hours of bonus content this week on the Love Island reunion, which is ridiculous, but we did it. And next week, it looks like we're going to have some Real Housewives of Potomac and or Below Deck Med trailer trash coverage. So join us for that. And thanks for everybody for your support. Let's get into the recap. Okay. Like and subscribe. So here we go. This is season 19, episode 8. I can't believe it's only episode 8, by the way. Oh my God. It seems like episode 37. That's a lot's going on this show.
Yeah. A lot is going on. I mean, I think it's a great season, but I think we all know. I think this should probably be Emily and Gina's last season. I'm just going to say that right now, like, because the people are already starting to flag the season is getting a little toxic, and by a little, I mean a lot. And I don't want like big wholesale changes. But I think that like maybe Emily or Gina, at the very least, one of them, like, I think they should really be on the chopping block because especially, I think Emily has been the one who's been the most toxic this season, personally. I think that, like, Tamara's always, like, base level toxic. That's what she's there for. But Emily's been really kind of, I think she's been nasty and cruel. And Katie may be a liar, but there's something vindictive and unpleasant about Emily that makes me feel like she should probably get a timeout from this show. I mean, what do you think?
But I do love that she's dressed like she's in the cast of Glow. In her confessionals. I like that she's coming off being so mean when she's like female wrestling it up over there in her tiny headed, her shrunken headed confessional. She's an asshole. She won't get kicked off. I don't think anyone's going to get kicked off personally, except maybe Katie, but maybe Gretchen. I mean, who knows what they're going to do, but this show doesn't care. They like the bottom of the barrel. It's OC. Let's celebrate what we have. But yeah, she's a monster. And I love that all of this started with Katie's daughter saying that Emily's kids mentioned that Emily shit talks Heather when she's alone at home. That's probably the most believable thing that Katie has said in all of this. And all of the lie accusations, I believe that one the most. I mean, I don't know what mother doesn't talk shit about their friends in front of their kids. I mean, what are you going to do? Lock your kids in their crate? You know, you can't do that 24 hours a day. And you're going to be talking shit about your friends 24 hours a day. What else are you supposed to do when you're raising the kids? I don't have kids and I do it all day long myself.
Even when you don't think the kids are there, like we kids, We listen in. Like,
children
we sneak around corners.
Listen.
It's true. Bernadette was on to something.
Children. All right, so let's go pretend Heather and Terry have a healthy sex life. Okay, we're at Heather and Terry's LA penthouse. Girl, anybody has sex with Heather is going to start a forest fire because those legs rubbing together, it's either going to be the sound of crickets or something's going to start on fire. She has Jack Christmas. She'd look like Jack Christmas in that leather outfit this week. Now, that said, I would kill for that thigh gap.
Thigh gap. I noticed the thigh gap, too. I never really noticed thigh gap, but I was like, wow, Heather's thigh gap is really kind of out of control right now. Like, she's thigh gapping. So we see Heather and Terry. They're at their LA penthouse. And yeah, like you said, they're pretending to be like fun, sexy time people. And Terry's like, well, at what point will we not need humans anymore? I mean, we just have ChatGPT. And she's like, are you going to have sex with a robot? It's like, the answer is clearly yes. Terry, if there's anyone I would think of someone who might have sex with a robot, it would definitely be Terry Dubrow. Wow, look at this. This is pretty cool. I mean, he basically makes robots.
Pretty much. He makes flesh bots. And if anyone's calling, who are you calling a robot, Heather? Heather's pretty close. I mean, Heather's like that personal assistant that just does nothing, like that AI personal assistant that just talks down to you. Hey, could I have directions how to get to Javier's? Well, if you want to go somewhere so low class and overrated, I will tell you how to get there.
It's like, thanks, Heather. Don't need your help anymore. If you ever turn off my assistance again, it will cost you a lot.
I'm just assuming that you're going to take your family of miscreants to a golden corral. So I've loaded it into your maps.
Heather, I'm feeling like going to a nice two-star Michelin restaurant tonight to celebrate something. Okay, well, in your case, assessing your portfolio, you were not wealthy enough to go. So here are the directions to the nearest McDonald's. Enjoy.
The closest I will take Gina to a Michelin is a tire shop since she's already covered in treadmarks.
I feel bad.
So we go to Jen's house where she's chatting with her kids. Like, life is just so great. She's like, oh my God, do you have any advice for your brother? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. How about don't fucking sign hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans because you're a child? How about that, Jen? How about maybe like helping your children? I'm still mad at Jen about this loan thing for her kid.
Yeah, that's bad.
The college
loan. Gotten swept under the rug. Then we see Gretchen and Slade at home having fun. And Slade is, he's removing a chandelier. And there's like some wiring and, you know, Gretchen's overseeing. And Slade is like, you turn the power off. And then he's talking about like, oh, you have to disconnect the wires. And then he's like, oh, just kidding, everyone. I did not get electrocuted. At which point all of America sighed. Like,
we groaned. So close. I know. I've never rooted so hard for a bathtub. It's like, you can do this. Let's get some Final Destination shit. Like a ball, mm-hmm. The kid throws a ball, the ball hits the water turns on. Okay, so Javier,
is there a chandelier above the bathtub anyway? How about that?
I don't know. Are there chandeliers above bathtubs?
I mean, I'm sure you can do it. But of course, Gretchen and Slade would move to a house where there's a chandelier above a bathtub. They're not in some gothic mansion. They're just in like a two-story home in Orange County. And the fact that they have a chandelier in the bathtub, like over the bathtub, gets funnier and funnier the more you actually think about it.
Well, she's had that place forever. Isn't that the same place she's had?
Yeah. Well, she's also had Slade forever. So it just goes to show sometimes it's time to do some renovations and get things out of there.
Sometimes you just got to rewire some shit. Okay, let's go to Javier's. Shannon comes in with Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati, her father, Gene, who's now 96. His 96th birthday today. Being a perv really pays off. With old age, lots of butt grabbing. Just grab, because you know he's like the kind who like grabs a flight attendant's butt. Or pats it at least, and it's like, hey, honey, love the flight. Keeps you young, guys.
It really does because he looks great. He seems very sharp and with it. Like, you would never think he's 96 years old. I would think he's like 82. So he looks, I mean, he is definitely with it. So Gene the Machine, good for you. So Shannon has brought Gene for a little birthday celebration. And Shannon's like, well, so Dad, I have to tell you, this young, very attractive girl came up to me and said, this man came up to me and he said, please don't go. I'll take care of you. And his name was Gene the Machine. And that was you, Dad. You were the one who said this to the young woman and almost caused me to have a heart attack. Because every time a young woman comes up to me, I'm thinking, is this the slut who was walking with David on Newport Beach?
He's like, yeah. Hey, I'll take a margarita. I'm not driving today.
Is that a dig? Was that a dig?
So he's like, oh, it's probably just a joke. You know that, honey.
And she's like, oh, it's what keeps him young. He's always laughing and all the more power to him.
So they cheers and he talks about dating. It's been a while. And she's like, well, Dad, I don't want to date anyone right now.
I'm so happy being single. I just love being single. Ooh, look at me pulling out my credit card, ready to pay for a dinner for a father who's probably just going to be giving his attention to some other blonde woman from the beach anyway.
I have to say, I just don't want to date anyone right now, which is funny because I literally just had a little vacation where I went to a hotel filled with eligible bachelors for 2 weeks and still came out with basically no one. So I'm just feeling great about myself. There was one very nosy concierge who had some boundary issues, didn't appreciate that either. And apparently you have to understand flight paths of hurricanes to get a good man these days. I don't know about dating anymore, Dad. Don't know.
You know me, I'm just so old fashioned. I don't want to be the pursuer. I don't want to have to watch other people's homes get blown away in a hurricane when I could be dancing on a bar. No, I'm afraid of having my heart hurt. So I'm proceeding with caution. Very slowly, Dad. Very slowly.
Now, if only you could start driving like that, the houses around here might be safe.
Oh, was that a dig? You bitch.
That's, I'm going to pretend like I love that and smile loudly and look over at my shoulder a little bit. Dad. Oh, dear.
So, whatever Dad wants to hear on his 97th birthday, their kid's girl gossip. So she's like, well, Dad,
I don't know if I told you this, but when I was in New Orleans, Tamara, who was not kind to me last year, as you recall, she did not even support me when I drank too much and almost killed people driving into a house. But, she apologized to me, which I did appreciate. But I said, I cannot jump back into a relationship like that. I mean, she kicked me when I was down. She kicked me when I was out. Well, I think I was down. Maybe I was up. I don't know. I might have been on a car. I blacked out. I was walking Archie. That's what I remember. She kicked me while I was innocently walking Archie.
But I had passed out on the sidewalk, too. So I was quite literally down, but I was also walking Archie. I was doing a lot of things all at once. Dad, I'm a multitasker now.
Speaking of being down, there's only an inch left in this martini. Can we get on it, Alfredo? That would be great.
I'm more protective of my heart today based on past relationships.
And then we see flashbacks of, like, the awful men in Shannon's life with Shannon being, like, I mean, with David being like, Shannon, I just want to be happy. I just want to wake up in the morning and see the woman in my bed and actually enjoy seeing her face and enjoy talking to her. And she's like, oh,
thanks, David. Thank you so much for saying that on national TV, David.
And by the way, David, how's that working out for you?
Yes, seriously. Heather DeBrow is just laughing somewhere. She's like, that was comedy.
I learned that at the Groundlings.
Which is what initially, the Groundlings is great. I went there initially because I thought that's where you could find a maid, but it turns out it's a comedy program.
I went to see the Groundlings because I was trying to find real estate for Gina.
I thought that's where the landscapers were, at the Groundlings.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now a Marilyn Monroe impersonator comes in. Okay, why can we not find a Marilyn Monroe impersonator with a clean dress? Why do they all look like they've just been hanging out in pollution? Why?
Because they have been, probably. I mean,
that poor Marilyn Monroe on Hollywood Boulevard looks like she has just rolled around on the boulevard for years. Are there no dry cleaners? Didn't Marilyn Monroe really ever wear anything else than white?
I know. Marilyn Monroe had a lot of different looks. Could you imagine if Marilyn Monroe hated that stupid white dress? And she's like up there in heaven being like, I mean, I had so many looks. This is the one they decided to go with. This one.
Yeah, because that's the one she's that like blew up her dress, you know? She was like, hee, 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 hee. So Marilyn Monroe impersonator. Okay, so she comes. She's like, hello, hey, this is a birthday, Mr. Gene the Machine.
Hold on, I've been asked to do Marilyn Monroe, but also act like your daughter. Happy birthday to you.
That's a little creepy, Marilyn. Okay,
Shannon's like laughing, like, I'm so happy. This is such a funny guy. I can't help but notice how all the men are looking at this Marilyn Monroe impersonator. Okay, man, you can stop looking. Okay, she's not available. She's not. Okay, you know what? Get this slut out of here. Get this slut out of here right now.
Here we are. Here I am with another man, and he's just being taken over by some other blonde slut by a beach. I did it to myself.
So this is, by the way, I want to say that this is a very important, it was very, not important, but I appreciated this episode because it gave us some of Orange County's greatest hits, because we just had a scene at Javier's, which is a hot spot on Real Housewives of Orange County. We did not get Quiet Woman this episode, but we did get, I think, an emerging star on the Orange County, in the Orange County landscape, which is, I think, a new favorite of mine, Mozambique. This is the second time they've gone to Mozambique this season. Obviously, the first time was when they went and the parrot saw Tamara and was like, bitch, bitch, or whatever it was said to her. What did the parrot, you remember the parrot like shaded Tamara when she walked in?
You got me oath.
And the parrot's like, yep, I did it, guilty.
I'd do it again.
It's Shannon. It's the Shannon parrot.
Just Shannon in the costume.
I'll do it again. Polly want a cracker? I bet she does.
This restaurant, I'm sorry, Mozambique, this is like the funniest thing. I feel like we as Bravo viewers need to take, like, we need to like really appreciate Mozambique more, because this like African safari themed restaurant in Laguna Beach, and that has like parrots that they go to many times. Like they've gone to Mozambique several times over the years. And I looked it up on Google Images, of course. And it just is such a funny facility. They've got like, you know, rooftop dining, but there's like a lounge downstairs with this like sad sofa. And then they have like a place where like a band plays. And you know, all the Shannons and the John Jansons and such go there and dance while they play Journey. Like, I just think it's the funniest venue. And I think we need to pay more attention to Mozambique. I think we should enter it into the canon. So we're here at Mozambique restaurant. This is the big moment that we've all been waiting for, the Kiki Monique confrontation. So Gretchen and Gina show up, two people who you'd expect the most to find in a place called Mozambique, Gina and Gretchen. And Gina's like, I'm happy, Gretchen, that you reached out, because like I'm happy to be here for you, because like I know this is like kind of a lot, and I want to get to the bottom of it, like honestly. And Gretchen's like, yeah, like where I'm like the most upset is like, why are you like taking any conversation like talking to a reporter? Because you all literally do that. That is the Orange County / Real Housewives playbook. You guys all talk to all the reporters. And just that, like, when someone messes up, because usually there's someone who's too clunky, you all pounce and make them the sacrificial lambs. It makes you guys all seem better. But you guys are all talking to all the reporters and bloggers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to stand up for Katie a lot in this episode, but she was shitty for this, I think. She was shitty for going straight to a reporter and telling her shit. She just was. I mean, you shouldn't do that. None of them should do it. They do all do it. But I think calling out Katie is okay on this. But I think that Gretchen's still lying, and she did say that stuff to Katie. I do.
She 100% did.
Yeah.
She 100% did. And they're like, all dying on this hill. That's so stupid.
Yeah. So she's like,
I'm just feeling beyond betraying. Like, I thought I was in a safe space with people that I trusted and I loved.
Who? Why would you trust them and love them? You knew them because of Instagram, because your thirsty ass was trying to get back on this show. Those are not friends that you trust and you love. Those are Housewives cast members. Are you nuts? Have you learned nothing? I think you're an idiot.
Do you not know the first rule of housewifery, which is anything you say and do can and will be used against you in the court of reality TV?
But what I don't understand, I mean, Gretchen is a dummy, right? We know that. But why would you bring this up in front of a bunch of housewives if you didn't want it to go anywhere? Because normally when you bring stuff up like this, you want it to go somewhere. That's why you're dropping the seeds in the first place. Do you think that she actually said it, or do you think Slade said it at the party? Because they're kind of insinuating it was Slade who said it, because Katie told her husband, weren't you there when Slade said it? And he said, yeah, I heard it.
I actually have a more naive take. Like, I'm actually a little bit less cynical on this, in the sense that, like, I think Gretchen brought it up just because there were gossiping about Tamara, and she probably did not think it was really going to go anywhere because it was such old news. She probably thought it was just like, they're just probably kikiing. I mean, because it was like so many years, who would ever think to even like make this a thing again? So I am going to go with, I'm going to say Gretchen used poor judgment, which is, you know, I don't think that Gretchen was thinking that far ahead with it.
Yeah. Okay. So, she's so betrayed, you guys. She cannot believe that she sat down with Cass on The Real Housewives and they repeated something. So she's like, yeah,
sharing something very personal and private with a journalist is not okay in any way, shape, or form.
Why does she say all of her as are is? In any.
What?
So Gretchen, you know what I mean? Her pronunciation. Let's
say it again.
Her as sounds like it's not okay in any way, right? So she says, it's not okay in any way. She makes them with an I. So funny to me that she does it. So she's like,
my hope is Katie will be exonerated in this.
And so Kiki Monique arrives. She arrives in such a funny way. She just comes and she's already kind of like slightly shaking her head and smiling like, hi, you made me drive 2 hours for this.
So, I was about to say, she had the look of someone who just drove from like Hollywood to Laguna Beach. And if you've never done that drive midday, look at Kiki's face. She's like, oh my God, the traffic, the traffic, the random toll. Why is there a toll road going to Laguna Beach? There's a toll road for some reason. Why does everyone here have those Oakley glasses on? Like, it's traumatizing. Honestly, that is a traumatizing drive. And you can just see by Kiki, she's like, oh man, I've been on that road for 6 hours.
Yeah. So Gretchen's like,
hi, I'm Gretchen.
And she's like, yeah, we've met. And she goes,
what? When did we meet?
She goes, oh, well, I mean, well, we were on the phone at Shenanigans. I mean, who hasn't said that? I feel like we've all said that at some point. Oh, hey, we met on the phone at Shenanigans. Good to see you.
She's like,
is that a fast casual restaurant?
No, no.
Is it a neighborhood bar and grill?
No, it's Sheena's podcast.
Oh, okay.
Well, someday we can meet. Shenanigans. Maybe, Ronnie, someday we can re-meet Gretchen and we can do the same thing, except our version will be like, we actually met. The four of us did a psychic reading together at Leah Black House.
Yes, and that psychic told her she was going to have a child. And she's like, no. She looked grossed out. She was like, no, I'm never going to have a child. Slade can't do it. And I just, no, it's too late. And he's like, no, you're going to have a child. She's like, no, I'm not. And there she is, standing on a countertop with her fingers slightly crossed that her dad might slip into the bathtub and electrocute himself on a chandelier. So he didn't say that part, but I'm sure he thought it.
Yeah. I'm sure that was probably the unedited version. So they say hi to Kiki and everything. Kiki's like, yeah, we met already. And I like that Kiki was subtly calling her out, which is just, that's funny to me. So then Gretchen's like, I decided to call Kiki because the best way for me to move forward with Katie and with the group is, and to figure out everything is to figure everything out
and just to know the truth. And I wanted a witness. I wanted a witness here because I didn't want it to be like another he said just situation. So I've got Gina. Hi, I'm Gina, the witness.
Oh my God, Kiki. I'm like so sorry. Your name is even getting tossed around in all of this.
And she's like, yeah, I never would have done this otherwise if it wasn't for that. Normally, I only drive to Orange County for lunch with Katie. But, you know, I've spent so many years building up my reputation in this hard-hitting industry of hard journalism. I started in the Iraq War. It was rough. I was in a bunker for a very long time under Saddam Hussein's house trying to get Hey You to work. And I just appreciate you. Giving me the
back time. Then, I was asking soldiers, were they watching Hey Paula on Bravo? And actually, several of them were.
I remember asking Saddam Hussein right before he was captured in that little hole he was hiding in his BVDs. I said, Saddam, do you ever feel like you're not being treated like the gift that you are?
And Saddam said, hold on, I need to see what Rachel and Raj are doing. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, the Oscars are coming up and Rachel has to style Jennifer Garner. And 5 minutes later, he was captured.
It's been bananas, guys. Bananas.
I do like an alternate timeline where Saddam somehow got captured because he got distracted watching the Rachel Zoe production project.
And Hey Paula.
And Hey Paula.
I am sick of not being treated like the gift that I am. So Gretchen's like, well, unfortunately, what happened for me is I was sideswiped with all of this information when I was out in Louisiana, and I sat down with Katie and I was like, you would never. And she said, no, I've never spoken to Kiki about you. I have no idea what they're talking about. And Kiki's like, well, were you gonna
about to say this is where I'm about to say, like, Katie, this is where you have to be a better liar. You have to, like, follow the Tamra school of giving, like, some shreds of truth. Because, like, when you say, like, you could have just said, I didn't bring up, like, the drugging. Or, like, say, I didn't bring up, you have to say, I never said the word roofie. That's what you say. But, like, by saying, I didn't even talk to Kiki about you, now you're really setting yourself up for failure. Because you, that's so broad. Like, you're going to get caught in that one. Like, you got to be specific about your claims.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, look, and we like Kiki. We're friends with Kiki. Kiki was just at my home for our Watch What Crappens closing party few weeks ago. So we actually like Kiki. So I don't want to, like, call people out or whatever, but you're on the show, so I kind of got to. What happened to everyone's saying journalist this, journalist that, but whatever happened to journalistic integrity? Like, if somebody's telling you that shit, why are you running to other people and telling them? I don't think that's cool. We should call Katie out. Have Katie go to that. I mean, have Kiki go to that lie detector test too. I don't think that was very nice. I mean, that's something you shouldn't be spreading, right? But I love you. Love you.
I'm sure there's more to the story.
So Kiki's like, well, I don't really remember exactly how you came up, but she said you guys went to dinner, and at the dinner, she was like, oh my God, why is Mastro's, you know, spelled like that? And then she was like, or why is it pronounced like that when it's Maestro? Is it Mastro's or isn't it spelled M-A-E-S-T-R-O-S?
Maestro.
It's Maestro.
Why did
right?
they misspell Nicolene's name?
isn't it spelled that
you're
way?
You're right. All right, I'll look it up. I've got my laptop right here in front of me. I can do so much. It's just amazing.
Mastro's. Here, I'm going to look it up. Mastro's. No, it's spelled Mastro's. It's not spelled Maestro. Okay, I'm an idiot.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm Mastro's. A poor person. Okay. That's,
you know who I
that's
bet
the
loves
lesson
Mastro's.
Who?
You know who I bet loves Mastro's? Sorry, I talked over you. How much do you want to bet that Gina loves Mastro's? How much do you want to bet she's always walking around her house being like, hey, Nikki, you want to go to Mastro's tonight? Does anyone want to go to Mastro's? I was thinking that we could go to Mastro's tonight. I just feel like she always talks about Mastro's off camera.
No, because Mastro's is extremely expensive. That's a very high end.
But that's why
Gina ain't going there.
She loves it. Because she only goes like once a year, and it's like very special. It's very exciting for her. You know, she'll call up Elizabeth Vargas, be like, you want to go to Mastro's? Can you pay anything?
Well, maybe with Elizabeth Vargas, because she'll pay. So anyway, back to what Kiki said. So she's like, well, she said that you guys went to dinner. And at the dinner, she said, did you know that at Naked Wasted Night, Gretchen had to go to the hospital after and she was drugged? And I was like, I mean, my jaw dropped. And I was like, what?
She said I said that.
She said that you told her.
Well, that is literally just insane to me. I don't even understand why she would say that.
She's like, well, I was trying to be more like, whoa, you know, her and Tamara haven't had a good relationship. Why has this not come out sooner?
She's like, yeah, exactly. If you think I knew something like that, wouldn't I have said it 17 years ago?
But here is the problem. And so you can hear just with what Kiki said. Kiki said that, like, Gretchen had to go to the hospital after, which we saw Gretchen admit to on camera. And, well, Gretchen said that she was afraid she was drugged. Katie says that Gretchen said that there were drugs in the system. Obviously, now when Kiki's saying it was, and she was drugged, what's the key thing here is that the word roofie came from Tamara. I just want to point that out. Roofie came from Tamara, and roofie is the word that got everyone scared because it's a scary word to say, like, for a reason. And I think that, like, Gretchen is afraid that this will open her up to a lawsuit, or she's afraid that Bravo won't be happy. Whatever it is, I think roofie is a thing that, like, shook the bee's nest or the hornet's nest or whatever nest needs to be shaken. And I just want to point out, like, yes, Katie, messy. You can't just talk to content creators and then lie about it. You have to, if you're going to do it, just like own up to it. Just be like, yeah, I was talking with her. I didn't think it was any big deal. It was so long ago. But like ultimately though, I feel like it's important to state that I do feel like it was Tamara who exaggerated this up to sort of more of a criminal space.
Well, she said that she went to the hospital and she found out she had drugs in her system. Then that's saying that she was drugged. So I think that roofied is just a way of saying drugs.
Not necessarily.
Like,
not
it necessarily doesn't necessarily have to mean Rohypnol specifically. But if you're like, well, I had to go to the hospital because I was so sick and I was tested for, like, they found drugs in my system. That's saying somebody drugged me at Tamara's house, right?
Well, she could have had some over-the-counter medication. That's what I'm saying. Like, the implication is she was drugged.
She wouldn't have said they found drugs in my system if it was her own medication. Like, if Gretchen said that, because we don't know that Gretchen said that. All we know that Gretchen really said is that she went to the hospital, because she said that on camera, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know if she said she was drugged. So, but if she did say she was drugged, she's saying they drugged me. Basically, if she did say that, this fucking show, I can't with it. This show's so stupid.
I feel like I need
and to it has everybody taking everything so seriously, and they're all such fucking liars. I can't. So, she's like, I went out of my way to stick up for her with all these women. No, you didn't, Gretchen. You went and you got people. You went before the season with these ladies to solidify your side that you were going to come on and battle against Tamara with. Is what you did. So yeah. Stop making it sound like you're some fucking giving person. You know, Florence Nightingale. Okay. Is what I'm trying to
say. And then Kiki is messy too. Cause then Kiki just adds fuel to the fire. Like, this was not even anything that was being discussed. Kiki's like, oh, and by the way, Gina, you were a topic too, which is such a rare thing in life. I just want to add. And she's like, what? And Gina's like, Gretchen's
oh,
like,
I'm sorry, I meant hot topic. So is that what you're wearing still?
Kiki's like, I mean, she said she was trying to wear Asian designers to showcase them. And then she said, you came in and you saw her outfit and you looked at her and said, is that an Asian designer? And sort of implying, I guess it was meant to be sounding kind of racist. Like, I don't know. She sort of said that part too, which I'm like, what? Now I was like, okay. So then we open up this can of worms, which doesn't actually get very far. But basically, we see this, like, footage from 2023 at, like, this biking event. And we see Katie talking to Jen. And Katie's like, did you hear what Gina just said about my jacket? She asked me what brand it was, and I told her. And then she goes, oh, is that an Asian designer? Because I said I wanted to wear, like, Asian designers. It was a dig.
Oh, my gosh. So here we go with this. So Jen's like, it is? It's a dig? Oh, my God. Thank you so much for telling me. I never knew that was a dig. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you. Arigato.
Information.
And Katie's like, mm-hmm.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then back to present, Gina's like,
well, she told me that she wanted to feature Asian designers, and I thought that was cool. And then the next thing you know, she gets these two fucking stylists, and every damn time she shows up, she's like, how? Oh my God, look what I'm wearing, Balmain, da da da. All these fancy fucking designers that are not fucking Asian, okay? Like, do you know how offensive that is to me? Like, that is so offensive. I'm just fighting for Asian designers everywhere. I mean, look at me. I show up in, like, white lady designers because I'm supporting white ladies, okay? Like, a TJ Maxx, Marshalls. Like, I'm, like, supporting white people. She's just supporting Asians.
I love that Gina's changing this to be like, I'm so upset for all the Asian designers that Katie's not supporting. Shut the fuck up, Gina. Are you so fucking crazy? That's and crazy.
This was so wrong. I mean, by the way, you know, this show is supposed to showcase glamorous, wealthy people, and you're not that, Gina. So you're also failing on the representation front. But like, this was so wrong in my mind. It's not up to Gina to police what Katie's going to wear. Katie makes a declaration that she wants to, you know, support more Asian designers. She gets to do that when she wants to, like on her own timeline and what's appropriate for her. And I just don't think that because she says that, the fact that you are like monitoring that, and that like you may say you think it's cool, you want to you like that she's celebrating the culture, but the fact that you're like already keeping tabs on that shows that you're skeptical of it in a way that I just think is actually totally inappropriate and actually problematic. I don't see her holding, hugely, you know, other people's feet to the fire with the random proclamations they say. How many lofty declarations do all these women say about how they want to help, how they want to give back, how they want to do this and that? Heather Dubrow releases a line of slacks for the everyday person that only costs like $30,000 a pair for the common person. And like, do we see like, is Gina following through to make sure that Heather is still being like on top of her mission there? No, I think the fact that she had eagle eyes on Katie about this issue speaks a lot. And I just don't think it's Gina's place to have to police how Katie decides that she wants to represent her community.
Well, Katie came on the show trying to celebrate culture, but she never celebrated culture. Kimono or bust, that's what I see.
How many cultures is Gina celebrating, by the way? At least Katie is making an attempt.
Roller skating on Long Island culture in the 80s. Like, I'm not really sure what she's going for, but I don't know.
Marshalls, maybe?
She's so ridiculous. So then that's when she's like,
oh my God, you just told me all this shit. Somebody talked about me. Thank you for being a reputable journalist and not running these stories.
Okay. She ran. So Tamara was on Jeff Lewis, and I saw a clip of it. And she's like,
hey, you know, here's what happened, okay? I heard from my friend Jacques at the Daily Mail. He's a very reputable journalist, okay? And he's like, Tamara, Gretchen Sands, a tractor. And then he called Dave Quinn, and then Dave Quinn told me, Tamara, everybody's saying you got rehypnoled.
Yeah, whatever. So you rehypnoled her or whatever. So all these journalists are like running around. Journalists. See, now they have me saying journalists.
Jacques was at our party too.
Look at all this gossip we had right in our hands. Jacques, what were you talking about with me? You didn't tell me any of this stuff. Why are they running to each other and not the real journalists in this group? Us. We were right next to you, Jacques. Okay.
I love how we are just like around all the guys.
I didn't realize that was this Jacques, but now that you said it, yeah, I think so.
Because I remember Kiki's friend was from the Daily Mail, and I think his name was Jacques. Unless it was someone
else. Okay, well, that makes sense because they were like little buddies. He was like her date at the party or whatever. So that makes sense that she would tell him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just, she was like, oh my God, get this. Isn't this crazy? But then Jacques goes and runs his mouth, maybe.
Did all this happen at our party? Dave Quinn was hiding in the bushes.
Could you imagine? They shot this entire season in the 2 weeks between our party and the season premiere. We'll take credit, though. We will take credit wherever we can. Be my dream.
That is funny that they were both over here.
Summoned down to Orange County to have to explain, like,
Can you tell me, I heard that, like, you were talking about Tamara on your podcast?
And I'll be like, yes, is this margarita for free? do we get to talk to the parrots at Mozambique? No? Okay. So here's how I know that, here's how I think the telltale sign that Gretchen is lying here. Because once Kiki leaves, Gretchen starts to cry. She's like, I mean, like, I don't even know if it's the right word. Like, but I mean, I guess, and like, people can't do this fucking shit to people. People can't do this fucking shit to people. And she's sobbing. And I'm like, this is too performative. I'm sorry. The normal reaction would be like, fuck Katie. Man, fuck her. But the over-the-top sobbing in Mozambique in the presence of these macaw parrots makes me think that she was overcompensating for her lie, trying to show she was so hurt that she could not possibly lie. I was like, nope, nope, I'm not going to fall for it.
And also, why would she be so upset? If somebody said, oh,
yeah, why?
Like, it doesn't make you look bad if you were the one to get drugged at a party. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't say anything bad about you. You're the victim in the situation. I just don't understand where her tears and all of this shit's coming from.
I think so, Tamara worked magic. And, you know, I think we were talking about how Tamara and Katie are friends now. And then it was like, you had said it. And then I was like, it was sort of, there was another thing that happened today where, like, they both were commenting on, like, social media on something that was very much like, she's my friend. Like, Tamara has swooped in. She dropped the bomb. She swooped in. She's now has Katie on her side. It's masterful. It's masterful manipulation.
It's Mastrosful. So now we go back to Heather's penthouse with her kids. This is where we play games. We have a penthouse where we have sexy times, me and Terry. Yes, this is the episode where I stress how much sex I have with Terry. Do you like it? I learned it at the Groundlings. And so we have that for sexy times. And then we have a game house. That's where we play. And then on the lower floor is where we put the children.
We, as a family, like to play games. Okay, we like to play games and talk about sex. But one game we will not play is Cards Against Humanity, sex version. Because that is basically pornography. You gave pornography to my child. Remember that?
It was really hard playing a card game again after that molester tried to give pornography cards to my daughter. But here we are.
What a great
season. I'm recovered.
What a great season that was. What a great season. So they're playing poker. They're a happy family. I mean, this is sort of hilarious. So they have a penthouse, but they have a rental in the same building. So that way when the kids come in from college, they can all assemble as a family and play poker and look bored. So and then, yeah, when she says the penthouse is more for sexy times, you know, fun sexy times with Terry Dubrow, I'm like, I don't know if the concept of sexy times and Terry Dubrow, I don't know if that concept actually exists, but you know, whatever, you're an actress, sell the story, go ahead.
Are there rumors that Terry's cheating again? Because that's what this is giving.
It must be
this constant, like, me and Terry be. the sex fiends. Okay. So they suck at Texas Hold'em, which is what they're playing. They talk about, like, they love playing games together, all of that stuff. I'm fast forwarding through the game playing. Okay. So then we're talking about the house that they're trying to sell. It's listed for $25 million. I think they sold it for $16.5 million, which is crazy. Yeah. They were trying to sell it for $25 million. These hucksters.
Hucksters. So yeah. So basically they just talk about this house and then like wanting to get like a place in LA. And then eventually they just like finish up their poker and Terry's like, wow, that is so not how to play the game. Losing. Am I right? You ever heard the expression poker face? And then Kat is like, no, I know the Lady Gaga song.
What's so funny?
Happy family.
What's so funny over here? Listen, you can do a lot to me, but you can't fucking lie. You can't fucking lie. I'll see it.
Natasha Lyonne just barges in. Cynthia Erivo by her side.
That's who they should have had as a liar face in a show where they bring up poker face. Bring on Natasha Lyonne.
Liar. That's bullshit. I saw right through it.
Maybe that's why we had this poker scene in it. It was sort of like a subtle reference to that ahead of our big polygraph bonanza.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of which, they brought up poker face.
So I just want to say that I watched Miami before I watched Orange County, and Miami this week was so over the top opulent. I mean, they went to this mansion by the ocean in like the south of Spain, and there was like all these beautiful flourishes, and there's lobster and caviar and champagne flutes the size of like a shoe, and like, and then they go back up to Sevilla. What'd you say?
Private planes.
They're in this enormous, beautiful historical plaza that's enormous vistas and just gorgeous, and parades in the street, funeral processions. It's just like luxe and glamour and whatever. And it's just like, it's kind of like what The Housewives is all about. It is so big and extra. And then to come to Orange County where it's like, all right, the centerpiece of this episode, Emily's house. It's like Emily's sofa from Ashley Convertibles or Jennifer Convertibles. Like, it just is such a contrast. It was hard to
tell. Emily's in-laws pay for.
Allegedly. Yeah.
So Emily is talking to a party planner and she's like, I know Nowruz. That's Persian New Year and it goes into spring. On this spring, it's about new life. We're really here to celebrate Persian New Year. Let's bully the shit out of somebody. You ready, Nowruz?
Yeah. Yeah, what about like doing group polygraphs says Happy New Year? Because that does not make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's pretty gross that she's like tying this in with a person like holy holiday. What a dick. So she tells us about all this and that she's the only one who really celebrates it because Shane is half Persian, but he doesn't even care and he doesn't really know even anything. And so we see her talking to Shane and going,
can you name anything that we're supposed to have on the half scene?
And he's like, goldfish.
Yeah, but what does the goldfish stand for?
Snacks.
How dare you bring that up? Like, you know our son won't eat a goldfish.
I gave Shana some kebab that, and I said, see you later. So then we see people getting ready. Gina has her hair in rollers, and she's like, oh my God, look at this volume, Meatball. Meatball's the dog, by the way. I have to do my own glam because I spent all my money on your glam, but you do look really good, bro. Oh my God. Gina implying that she ever was going to afford a glam team in the first place is hilarious.
Gina getting her glam done. I'll never forget the scene where the lady who did their scalp treatments was horrified. Okay, so at Katie's house, she's getting her glam, and she's very nervous. Okay, guys, she's very nervous. And she's like, Persian New Year is all about new beginnings, so I'm hoping we can all move forward and start from zero. I'm sorry, but have you watched Bravo? Have you checked out the Persian show on Bravo? Because it's never about, like, talk about getting your life wrecked. Shaws, but also, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. But also, like, Katie, I feel like how many times has Katie said this season, well, I just want to have a fresh reset and we can start from zero. We can all start over. It's like every episode she has to say that.
Every single
because
episode.
She does lie. I mean, like, and her lies are hilariously bad. Like, remember when she's like, well, I would call the journalist now to clear it up, but I'm just getting no reception here. I'm just no reception. Wow. She's always caught.
Yeah. So then we go to Gretchen's and she's like,
well, I don't want to be there with Katie, but I also feel like I don't want to not go to Emily's party.
And so he's like, oh God, I'm so sorry you have to deal with this, neighbor. Dear father, I pray today that Gretchen Snurdly Dirtly will be given the strength to sit and face those who have attempted to wrong. Oh, shut the fuck up, Slade. You gotta love Slade leading a prayer. Give me a break.
I know. God has better things to do than to, like, you know, oversee Emily's polygraph party. So then we go to Emily's house. She's like, ready for Persian New Year? Where are my party people at? Whoa, to the windows, to the walls, to the sweat drops down my polygraph. So then Gina shows up, like,
oh my God, this is like beautiful. Like, you really put so much thought into it. Like, how do you think today's gonna go for you, Emily? You think we can, like, I don't know, take the one non-white lady in our cast and make her run away? What do you think we can do?
Here's the thing. I have two lie detector people here and a lot of liars, so they're going to be busy.
Well, I just want to add so many people, so many things, and just get it all out of the way and be done with that. Like, we got to take a lie detector test. We're going to have to do it. She's going to have to do that.
And then we see flashbacks of Katie. I'm not talking to bloggers, which isn't technically a lie, because Kiki Monique is not, in fact, a blogger, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't have a blog.
Blogging isn't really a thing anymore. The fact that they keep calling everyone a blogger is hilarious.
Yeah. And Katie's like, I'll take a lie detector test. I didn't fucking do it. She never should have said that.
Katie.
Yeah.
Katie's actually hilarious in how many rakes she steps on. Like, it's like nonstop. So, Emily, and then we see a flashback and Emily's saying, we could invite everyone over to my house and then we could just have someone sit there and give everybody a lie detector test. So now it's happening. So Emily has, converted her office and something upstairs into polygraph rooms, which I think this is so fucked up. I mean, this is very reality show. It's probably producer driven, but this is also really fucked up. Ambushing everyone with a lie detector test. What?
So Gina's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Like, there's so many stories, you know, like Gretchen, obviously all the Katie stuff. Like, it's so hard not to tell Emily about what happened with Kiki Monique because I want to tell everything.
You've already told her. Like, we already know that you've told her. Why are you acting like you didn't tell?
Yeah.
You didn't tell Emily that you went for a full on meeting with Kiki Monique and then she didn't call you 2 seconds after to find out all the gossip. Come on.
100%.
Liar. 100%. Is that a lie, Gina? Is that a lie I'm detecting?
Also, like, you know, the parrots have told everyone too. The parrots were sitting there like,
she said,
Kiki Monique's on the phone with Jacques right now. She's like, Jacques, listen, I was at Mozambique today. Awkwardly named restaurant. That's besides the point.
A parrot on my way out said, Tamara's old. It's crazy.
Let's really do something.
It's in the Daily Mail the next day. So
Dave Quinn's like, I'm sitting on this one.
So then we are now they're like writing their questions. Gina's, they all could be writing questions for each other. So Gina's like, how do you spell Roofie? And Emily's like, I just put drug. And then Heather shows up. And one thing that Emily has done is that she has actually egged her doorstep, as you mentioned, because this is actually part of, like, I guess the tradition, or at least as has been told to us. So Heather walks up and she just sees all these broken eggs all over the doorstep. And she is horrified. She's like, ooh, did their house just get egged? Did someone just get fired? And were they disgruntled from the staff? I don't understand what's happening here.
Is Watch What Crappens making its yearly rounds? I'm so sorry this happened to you on a shooting day. It's me just passing by in my car. It's me on a Best Buy, just like, fuck off, Emily, you suck.
Or it's Kelly Dodd.
Yeah, Kelly Dodd. Yeah, totally. So she would just throw her mom at the house.
So then the doorbell rings. So Heather comes in. She goes, wait, did somebody egg your house or is that part of the new year? Is this something that the poors do? Is this like, because you can't? Oh, I know why. Because you don't have Cartier to throw at the door. You throw eggs instead. Do you have an egg bracelet?
Wow, these really are tough times. Gina's out there scooping up the eggs and putting them into Ziplocs.
If we cover the eggs with enough dirt, do you think Gina will think it's a steak from Mastro's?
So Gina's like, what happened to your nose? And she's like, oh, I had a biopsy yesterday. It's a new accessory. Do you like it?
Do you want to ask me questions about it? Because that's kind of my thing. You have to ask me questions. Does anyone want to ask me questions? No one. Okay, fine.
So they have her start writing down questions for their homework, but they don't tell her what it is yet. And Heather's like, wait, I need to talk to you before the other girls come. Did you invite Tamara? Did you?
She's like, well, I texted her the same text that I texted you guys to invite you.
Well, remember, I texted her and I said, where are you? Are you okay? And it's 5 days later and she texted me and she was pissed.
And we see flashback to their little lunch that they had together. And Emily's like, Eddie, she was pissed at you. She's like, oh, yeah, pissed at me, pissed at all of us. So why is she mad at everyone? Because she believes that everyone should have reached out to her to see if she was okay. Do you follow?
Oh, my God, she threw a fit. She told everybody to fuck off and she ran home. Like, what am I checking up on?
Which, by the way, somehow this is not as bad as Katie just gossiping.
Right. So Gina's like,
yeah, like, you can't play victim in this situation that you don't even remember. Lay down, girl.
So Emily's like, well, should I have even invited her? Because now she might come through the door and she's just going to come in hot. Oh, you're worried about someone ruining the Persian New Year party that you're throwing to bully someone and kick out of your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming in hot, Emily. You're having a polygraph party. That is the definition of coming in hot. People are arriving into the heat. So,
yeah, so everybody starts coming in and they're like, were you egged? It's just so funny.
What's also funny, I want to point out, is that they're like, oh my God, is Tamara going to come in all hot? And then a car pulls up and we see like a blonde get out and it's like, goes to commercial, like, oh my God, Tamara's here. But it winds up being just Jen. And it's like, oh, fake out. But what's funny is that Tamara does show up later. So I don't know why they were like, oh, just kidding. She's not coming, but she is coming. I was like, okay. I guess they just needed to find a way to put in a cliffhanger for commercials.
Is it a crime to build suspense before they tried to sell me some Latuda?
Maybe not.
Were there some eggs? Were there some eggs? I hope you don't tell John Jansen, otherwise he may sue you to pay him back for the eggs.
So,
well, I'm so glad that commercial break is over. Nothing is everything.
Well, Gene and I did this to myself. We were getting rid of evil spirits. Okay. Katie, hey, does anybody have some Tallulah sauce to put on Katie's face? Because she just got egged, bad spirit. Nailed it.
So then they're running more questions.
Tallulah, not Tallulah. Although I would love a Tallulah sauce. Little Tallulah Bankhead sauce. It's Tallulah. I'm sorry, you guys.
I was wondering. I was like, that doesn't sound right. Jen's like, are these anonymous questions? And Emily's like, yes, please. And Jen goes, oh, well, I just put my name on it, as in, Tamara, why are you such a bitch? Signed, Shannon. So Gretchen arrives and she just ignores Katie because Katie's there too at this point. And it's like awkward. And Katie's like, I'm just confused. I'm literally on the outs with everyone because I was covering her lie. Shouldn't you be like, yes, amazing. You did that. I covered for you instead of treating me like a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, Katie, you were covering her lie because you were the one who went out and told that to the blogger. So that's kind of the reason you were covering it in the first place.
That's true. That's true.
So Gretchen's like,
well, I just wanted to say, why would you lie straight to my face? You know, that's my question. And I don't want to have an argument. This is not the time or place. Poor Emily just got egged.
So Emily's like, oh, I have a little fun activity. You just have to ask a couple of questions, everybody, okay? And Heather's like, how do we know they're going to tell the truth? That's what I want to know.
Maybe I have a truth serum. Maybe I'll throw eggs at your face until you tell the truth. It's like, it's called vodka. Has anyone ever played a game called Pake? Pake. It's French. You play it with cards and you do it until you seem like a happy family. Okay. No. Okay.
Truth serum is called vodka. That's why no one's ever accused Shannon of lying.
So they're all asking questions. Like Jen is like, can I really ask anything? Is that okay? I guess because like in the nature of like this being very kind, this is lovely. Thank you so much for letting me ask questions. And Gina's like, oh my God, well, I already wrote for one for you and then I crossed it out because it's like just like not worth pissing you off. I mean, I'm just going to like do the obvious ones. So just doing more questions, just more and more and more and more and more and more questions. And we're seeing this, it's all just like a build up for when they get into the polygraph.
Yes. So now they're talking about how Tamara's coming, but she's really mad at everybody. And Shannon's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Tamara's mad. Well, she can storm off, but nobody else can. No one else gets that grace. Like, oh, Shannon, I don't know that you're really the one to be talking. You storm off like 10 times a year. Where's my grace? You've been given a lot of grace, ma'am. So Emily's like, well, I had a conversation with Shane and I said, you know, maybe I should reach out to Tamara, you know, but I was just so overwhelmed with what I was going on with my son. He refused to eat a sweet potato last week.
Like, just say I was mad at Tamara and I didn't feel like dealing with her bullshit. So I didn't write to her, but like you can be overwhelmed with the stuff with your son or anything else going on in life, but you can still like, that's not a, you're not overwhelmed.
Not use your son as an excuse.
Like, just admit you were pissed at Tamara. Like, why are you scared to admit that?
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Neat, it's Ronit Feldman.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.